Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Healthy Gut Girl, Kitty Martone. This is Stuff Your Doctor Should Know, and I am coming to you live from deep inside your dark, warm, large intestine. I don't know why I said it that way. I was just thinking about trying to introduce today's guest, who is doing incredible things with float labs, with these kind of like deprivation tanks, but you're laying in these incredible pools of mineralized, magnesium salts. And so I was just trying to, create an ambiance of dark deprivation in your colon. But it didn't work. So this has been a powerhouse day today. I actually had an incredible show this morning with Dr. Perry from Stop Chasing Pain. A lot of you know him. He's very, very famous online and does incredible work with lymph drainage. And so that was this morning, and we had such a great three-hour show. And then I got to wrapping up this podcast that you're about to listen to now with this guest, Max Casa. And it's so interesting how the lymph drainage aspect of what I learned this morning, coupled with what Max is going to share you, go hand in hand. And excuse me. There is this interesting thing that happens with a lot of people in my group and in as clients and with myself in the past, where I start to take a lot of supplements and try to do a lot of detoxification, and I try to do like all of these things at once. Like you're on a big program, right? Maybe a practitioner puts you on a program, and it feels like nothing is happening at all. Like you're just stuck. And Dr. Perry talks about sometimes our toxic bucket is so overflowing that when you try to detoxify yourself or you try to take nutrition, it just doesn't do anything. It's almost like it flows off the top of the bucket. It just doesn't make a dent in your toxic burden, your toxic load that you have, the level of inflammation that you have. And what I love about what Max is going to talk to you about is not just the efficacy of absorbing magnesium through the skin, but the gentleness and how it can truly help you mineralize and regulate minerals in the body by absorbing it through the skin, by doing these float tanks or doing foot soaks or bath soaks with these particular types of salt. Epsom salts are great, but there's this much better way of absorbing different types of magnesium that are much better for you. And I'm going to ruin it if I talk anymore, but he's going to explain to you all about it. It's so good. And then I have something to share with you, because since our show, I have ordered some of the salts and something happened to me. And then I'm going to tell you all about it after this show, and also give you a coupon to purchase a float lab of your own or some bath salts. All right, enjoy. So tell me, what took you from being at this pinnacle of your martial arts career to all of a sudden, not just the float lab and the concepts behind the products, but took you into being so entrenched in understanding mineral dysregulation? What happened?
A great question. And ultimately, as I got deeper into the arts, started teaching, competing more, I was constantly looking for ways to optimize my mind and body. And it really all hit one day after really hearing so many different people talk about all these stressors that we're being bombarded with from our diet, EMFs, and really just pollutants of all kinds, and looking for an approach to really mitigate all of that. Yeah, ultimately, as I started teaching, competing in the martial arts more, and I was constantly looking for ways to optimize my mind and body. So I tried out different therapies like mindfulness and meditation and yoga, cryotherapy, and they're all helping in the short term, which is great. But I was in the locker room one day getting ready for a competition, and one of my buddies was like, hey, have you tried out the float center in Boston at the time? I was living 10 miles north of Boston. And at the time, that was the only float center in all of New England, which is fascinating because, you know, see how much has changed just 7-8 years later. And yeah, so I ended up going down after practice that day to the float tank for my first float session, a 1-hour float session. And when I got out of the tank, I was literally buzzing with this sensation of relaxation and just pure serenity that I had never experienced before, especially in the midst of fight camp, which was quite stressful times.
Right.
Yeah, so I ultimately ended up floating more and delving into the research more and milking more and more of its benefits. And ultimately, it ended up leading me to dropping out of college and pursuing this career of basically designing a float tank, getting it manufactured, and now installing that in the homes of people all across the globe and a bunch of different commercial centers.
Now, did you find that because there was a need for it, but also did you find that you could do it differently than the ones that you had experienced, or both?
Definitely. Yeah. At the time, my first float was in a tank that looked eerily similar to a coffin. So it wasn't super inviting. And as a martial artist, I didn't really care. I wasn't super afraid of the dark or the silence. But
yeah,
I started realizing it really started to hit when I would talk to my parents, my friends, and trying to get them into the float tank. I'd be like, hey, not for me, man. I'm claustrophobic, or whatever they would say.
Yeah.
And then ultimately I realized if I want to make this form of therapy more easily accessible to a wider audience, that you have to make some serious edits to the aesthetics of the tank itself. So
yeah, they're beautiful.
And, yeah, you saw them.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
In the Instagram.
Have you ever floated yourself?
Okay, I have a funny story. So I live in Venice Beach, and the first time I heard of it, I was like, absolutely, I have to do this, because I had already been into the whole mineral dysregulation world by then. And I was like, oh, I got to try this. So I signed us up, and my husband and I went. Have you been to Venice before, to Venice Beach?
I haven't yet, but I heard they have some awesome float centers.
Yeah. Well, at that time, I mean, Venice Beach is sketch, right? It's sketch. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, yeah, it's on the boardwalk. It's like on the front walkway of before you get to the beach. And so we walk down there, and we go into this alley, and then we find the place, and it's like, you know, we open the door and there's nobody in there. And it just looks a little bit like rough in there. And the guy's like, oh, hey, I'm here. He's like, yeah, okay, well, you know, you go in that tank and you go in that one. And they just looked, honestly, like, I bartended for 7 years, and I was like, that looks like a walk-in cooler to me. Like, that looks like I'm going to walk in to like a refrigerator and I'm going to get locked in there. So we like opened the door, and it really was like a big, huge silver walk-in cooler type door. And then inside, it was super, super jerry-rigged. Like, this was just definitely somebody's like plastic tub that they filled with like some plastic bags, liners or whatever, and filled them up. It was super dark. And then, you know, you shut it when you get in there, and yeah, pitch black. And I used to be a lot more claustrophobic than I am now, but I'm like laying there. I had some issues with my neck. Like, I was laying there, and they had one of these floaty pillows, and I needed something more substantial for my neck. But anyway, it took me a good, I don't know, 5-10 minutes to finally not try to get out of it, because I was like, this is sketch. Like, I'm scared. I was having claustrophobia. And then I chilled out, and you're right, I got out and I felt really good. And I thought, this needs to be redone because it's pretty epic. And then that's the only one I ever did.
Never again.
Never. I didn't go back, and I haven't. And I know there's a bunch around here, and I knew I was going to talk to you and be like, I got to do this. So yeah, I'm excited.
Work on that.
Yeah.
Work on that. Yeah. I feel, it really just clicked one day after hearing so many, just diving into all this research and hearing so many people talk about all these stressors that we're being bombarded with, like, and at the time, I mean, we still hear it today, but stressors from our diet, stressors from EMFs and really just stresses from pollutants of all varieties.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, it really just clicked because I hadn't heard anyone really talk about, or very rarely at least, talk about one of the largest stressors to the entire nervous system. And that's the fact that our brain is having to process 10 million bits of sensory overstimulation every single day. And that's an incredible energy drain to our entire nervous system. And in this post-modernized world, we're constantly being inundated with sensory overstimulation from all of our senses.
Wow.
And it turns out that when we give our bodies, our brains, and our nervous system the opportunity to really just unplug from all that overstimulation, that our bodies have a natural, innate ability to heal themselves.
Yeah.
And really, I started delving deeper into exactly how that's happening, and ultimately making this form of therapy, or floating sensory deprivation, mm-hmm. more easily accessible to more people.
So what are the different things? So there's the fact that you're in a state of deprivation. So you're floating, you almost don't feel your body. So there's that quality. And then the actual fact that you're in magnesium, what is going on there? Are there, what are all the different factors that help us, that it's beneficial for?
I'm glad you asked. So for a while, I've been delving into, because we see all these clinical studies that are being done on floating, and it's having profound effects in the mind, body, and spirit. And really, I started delving into what are the active ingredients in this silent, dark tank that are leading to all these benefits. And ultimately, it turns out, so there's three main pillars of benefits. You nailed two of them, but the other one would really be the fact that we're laying in a zero gravity environment. And this is totally unlike laying on our mattress at the end of the night, where we have thousands of springs and pain points that are cutting off our blood flow. Because when we're in a true zero gravity environment, what we see is our blood vasculature can totally relax. Our blood flow shoots through the roof. Oxygen flow shoots through the roof. And our microcirculation shoots through the roof, which is all incredibly healing for thousands of ailments. And the second main pillar of benefits that you had noted on is all the benefits that we see from the sensory deprived environment. And you close the lid behind you to flick the light off, we see heart rate drop by 10 to 15 points. We see blood pressure drop by 10 to 15 points. And cortisol levels really start to balance out. And that's just been 15 minutes of entering the thick. Along with that, our parasympathetic nervous system really just activates. And ultimately, since we're in this sensory deprived environment and our awareness and our consciousness is being pulled in all these different directions, our brain just has that much more brain power to put towards whatever it really truly has to do. And oftentimes that's relax, that's recover, and that's de-stress better than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
And the third main pillar of benefits that you also touched on is the fact that we're laying in 1,000 pounds of therapeutic grade Epsom salt. And we're not just laying in it, it's actually being absorbed through our skin throughout the entirety of this float session. And we've actually captured now in the laboratory magnesium ions passing through the skin, and in particular through the hair follicles of the skin, directly into the bloodstream where it can be utilized and absorbed right away.
Wow.
This is profound, especially I was listening to your podcast from a couple weeks ago on magnesium, where you guys dove deep. And we know that 95% of Americans are extremely magnesium deficient, which is a mind-blowing statistic, especially taking into consideration that it's one of the most abundant minerals in the human body. But not just, it's the fourth most abundant mineral. But on top of that, your guest had pointed out the awesome stat that 3,751 enzymatic reactions are totally dependent on magnesium. But what a lot of people don't recognize is that there's only 9,000 enzymes in the body. This equates to over 42% of our electrical body being totally run on this magical mineral. And when we take into consideration that we're not getting nearly enough from our food, I've been trying for many years now to up my leafy greens, et cetera. But the reality of it is the soils are extremely depleted, factory farming and acid rain. And then plus our buddy Morley talks so extensively about how magnesium has a rapid burn. combat stresses of all kinds. So leaves us mag depleted. So we can go into a solution like this, soak up magnesium transdermally through the hair follicles of our skin. We don't have to worry about really the non-efficacy of oral supplementation, where a lot of the studies show that many oral supplements of magnesium aren't having any impact on our red blood cell magnesium levels for 9 to 12 months of constant supplementation. And that's cool, especially if we're in it for the long haul. But when I talked to Dr. Mercola, he points out how he wasn't able to really move the dial on his red blood cell magnesium levels, which is the most accurate magnesium blood test that we have to date. He wasn't really able to move the dial on his red blood cell magnesium levels until he introduced transdermal forms via his float tank in his house.
That is shocking, because shocking, but also kind of rings true, because I feel like sometimes I take magnesium and, you know, I've been taking it for years, different forms, and I rotate brands and types, and I'm like, is this even doing anything? You know? And I think that a lot, and I was just talking about this last night, I think that a big part of the problem is that so many people have malabsorption and they can't absorb it at the gut. So even if let's say the product is stellar, right? It's the best, it's the best magnesium on the market, and you take it, if you have malabsorption, you're just going to poop it out or pee it out, you know? And so that's a bummer. And so what can you take too much? Can you absorb too much, or does the body have like a break on it from absorption?
So what we see is actually when we enter the float tank, and that's one of the other aspects that makes transdermal magnesium absorption far superior to oral supplementation, is the fact that our body actually has a natural fail-safe mechanism where it will totally cut off its absorption once it reaches proficient levels. So we don't have to worry about overdosing. We don't have to worry about loose stools or anything like that, because our body will, it's very intelligent. It will soak it up as it needs, and it will kind of pump the brakes when it needs it as well.
That's cool. That's really cool. Okay, now you've got me going on it. So what if somebody can't afford a float tank? I mean, give us an idea of what that looks like. First of all, you got to have the space for that, right? Because they're pretty big. How big are they, the ones you sell?
About 9 feet long by 6 feet wide. Okay. 4 feet tall.
So it needs its own bedroom.
About the size of a small car.
Yeah, so it needs its own bedroom or garage or studio or something. And then what are we looking at for, like, you know,
yes, we have models that range anywhere from around the $15,000 mark to the $30,000 mark.
Oh, wow.
And then on top of that, we include all the services, like the highest purity Epsom salt and all the tools needed to clean and use the tank. So if anyone's interested in implementing floating in their home or in a business, happy to help over again.
Cool. And then what about, like, okay, say I can't afford that. Are Epsom salts foot soaks just as good?
So a lot of people, when they hear us not trash on, because I feel that oral supplementation of the proper kinds can be beneficial in the long term, especially. Mm-hmm. A lot of people run to transdermal magnesium creams or lotions that they're putting on their skin. The only issue is that most of the studies that have been done on transdermal magnesium absorption show that it's only actually being absorbed through the hair follicles when we're in a solution that is extremely concentrated, extremely warm, over 90 degrees Fahrenheit, and if we're in it for at least 30 minutes. That's really when we start to see these ions pass through the hair follicles.
Cool.
Which is interesting. So not to say that the topical lotions aren't wishful thinking, but I feel we can take a few steps deeper to really maximize the absorption and utilization. I'm sure we'll dig into that.
Yeah.
As we proceed.
And what, okay. So then, what about, Epsom salts versus this magnesium salt soak that you're recommending that's in these float tanks?
As I started going down the rabbit hole of magnesium, as I'm sure you have as well, I started to learn that magnesium chloride has over 230% more magnesium than Epsom salt. which is fascinating. And I began to become rather perplexed as to why every single float tank on Earth was filling their tanks with Epsom salt rather than magnesium chloride. Granted, the magnesium chloride is a little bit more pricey, but a worthy and for healing people and patients of thousands of ailments.
Yeah.
So we started looking into the magnesium chloride, which if anyone at home, that's a simple switch they can make, swapping the Epsom salt rather for the magnesium chloride. But what we ended up doing was we ended up sourcing the purest magnesium chloride on Earth, because it turns out that much of the Epsom salt and much of the magnesium chloride on Earth is sourced from mines that are actually on Earth's crust. And as a result, they're heavily polluted. They're getting acid rained on as well. And if you actually test them, oftentimes they're extremely high in mercury, which is nothing we want to be bathing in for prolonged periods of time.
Oh, boy.
So you got to watch out for that one. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we ended up finding a mine that's over a mile beneath our surface, the purest, totally untouched, no mercury in it at all. And we ended up sourcing that and filling our float tanks with that pure magnesium chloride. And we started floating people, myself and many other experienced floaters, and they were just raving, like, wow, they're sleeping deeper. Their levels of state anxiety were totally decreased for days on end. And anecdotally, their magnesium levels are really starting to skyrocket.
Wow. Well, that's everything, you know? So what exactly, when I go to a float lab out here, are there any concerns that I should have as far as, like, you know, I mean, am I getting in the same water that everyone else just got in? Am I, like, what's up with that? The hygienic aspect of it.
Ultimately, the filtration systems on most of the tanks are suitable. That's definitely one upgrade that I was making when I was getting to the market, because I looked around at all these float tanks and all these float centers, and they were having to fully replace their 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt and their salt water solution every month or two, which, I mean, the Epsom salt alone costs $1,500 a boat. So it wasn't a very sustainable price model if every month you have to go and throw out all your Epsom salt.
Yeah.
So, and then ultimately, I'm glad we put extra time into the filtration aspect, but ultimately our tanks nowadays, we don't have to worry about a thing, because after every single floater, we flick on the filtration system, and it filters every single molecule of that water through a micron filter. It blasts it with ultraviolet purification. It blasts it with ozone purification. It goes through hair traps. And then ultimately, when it goes back into the tank, we have the chemical disinfectant, which is hydrogen peroxide, gray hydrogen peroxide, rather than chlorine or bromine or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, fortunately, not much can actually live in the saltwater solution itself, because it's over two times or close to three times as buoyant as the Dead Sea.
Wow.
But not much can live in there. But ultimately, not much we have to worry about on the filtration aspect, because even in the 30 minutes in between each session, every single molecule, that water is being filtered over 12 times by all those systems before the next client actually enters the tank.
So way cleaner than a swimming pool or a jacuzzi, it sounds like.
Yeah, infinitely. For sure.
And is there anybody that shouldn't do these, shouldn't do a float tank, shouldn't float in float tanks?
There's a small population of people that I make sure they check their primary physician first. And ultimately, those people would be, so we have a little test when they come into the float center before we actually put them in the tank, really, really just because it can be slippery, you know, uh-huh. A lot of Epsom salt, kind of like a bathtub. If they can lay on the ground and get back up to their feet, maybe we'll sometimes check the elderly population or the extremely obese population. But as long as they can lay on their back and get back up to their feet without slipping or falling, that's a good test. But other than that, really the only people that we like to be aware of is people with kidney conditions, because there is an extreme detox that's coming from laying in 1,000 pounds of magnesium.
Wow.
I want to make sure that the kidneys can handle that.
Interesting. Okay. So what would be the signs of, like, say someone doesn't really know if they've got kidney stuff, and then they would just have maybe some lower back pain, or maybe if they have kidney stones, they would be painful. What kind of signs could they look for?
Yeah, those would be two of the main ones. And typically at that point, usually it's they've been battling it for some time and they'll have some sort of doctor's note on it or some idea.
Yeah.
But if any question, always check the physician first.
Cool. So that's pretty exciting. I want to know more about, like, I feel like there's some things you talk about on your Instagram that I'm like, hey, that's something I didn't quite know, like about cofactors with magnesium. And so if someone is doing float labs, first of all, how often should they do it? Say I have access to one in my home or nearby in my neighborhood. How often should I do it?
So really it's a question that's based totally off their experience and ultimately what they're looking to get out of the first session. So what we see is, if someone's dealing with a more traumatic condition, maybe it's a concussion, maybe it's a broken ankle, maybe it's back pain, floating as many times as we possibly can within those first couple of weeks is usually a solid protocol there to really zap that inflammation and accelerate the systemic healing.
Okay.
On top of that, though, there is a ratio that's been studied extensively, and it's 9 floats in 27 days. And it's proven to be extremely effective for mental and physical burnout, which is good to know.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, really just depending on what they're looking to get out of it. If their goals are more related to reducing stress levels, reducing anxiety, or even just sleeping deeper, the short-term effects of floating seem to be lasting, especially the stress-reducing effects, seem to be showing for 24 to 36 hours post a one-hour float session. So using that data, if someone's looking to really drop their stress levels, a couple times a week to a couple times a month can be extremely effective for that.
Okay, cool. And then say I can only go like once a month or whatever, I can do like a foot soak or at home or bathtub soak with the because you actually sell these great salts, right? You sell these different types of soaks that I can use when I can't make it to the float lab. And that, how often can I do that?
Sure. And fortunately, that's something we can hit more often. It's really a great way to reset the mind, recover the body, and revitalize the spirit in between those float sessions. And again, I fully recognize that not everyone has access to even a float tank nearby, and not everyone's budget to go drop some money on a float tank or go install it in their apartment.
Yeah.
But with that being said, we really wanted to lower the barrier to entry, because we began to touch on it, but as I delved deeper down the magnesium rabbit hole, I started learning so much about magnesium, and in particular, how to maximize its absorption and its utilization. And that all started with making the switch to magnesium chloride, which is a very impactful swap right there. And still to date, 100% of float centers are filling their tanks with Epsom salt. No one that I've ever heard of is filling it with magnesium chloride. But the ones that do, we're seeing much deeper benefits from the magnesium absorption through the skin.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, I know, much like yourself, my mind's constantly fixated on optimization. And mm-hmm. we, after working with all these professional athletes and health and wellness influencers who are high-level biohackers, constantly fixated on optimization, we started making some edits to the tech, made some edits to the design, and we really started to lower the barrier to entry by implementing things like a multicolor LED chromotherapy light into the tank that people can soak in the benefits of red light. Maybe if they're nice. Not hip to jumping right into the silent darkness right off the bat.
Right.
And also if someone feels anxious or potentially claustrophobic about getting in the chamber, we have powerful underwater sound transducers that you'd find on the side of a yacht hooked up to the tank as well under the water line. And now all a client has to do when they get into the tank is plug their phone into the aux cord in the back of the tank. And oftentimes users are plugging in powerful frequencies that are actually being transmitted through the saltwater solution directly into every cell of the user during their float session. Which is fascinating. We can go deeper into the realm of passive versus active floats, really setting that intention pre-float, where many people have been leveraging things like powerful frequencies, guided meditations, breathwork tracks, and even especially, this is a prominent one in the studies, is hypnosis tracks or sublinguals during their float session. And it turns out on hypnotherapy alone, we've worked with a lot of hypno centers and my fiance is actually a hypnotherapist herself, and it's fascinating because hypnosis is shown to be 5 times more effective when done in sensory deprivation than when it's done outside of sensory deprivation. And ultimately, it's just because your subconscious mind has no distractions; it can focus fully on sublingual messages.
You know, the one time that I did it, I was so shocked. Like, you don't realize how inundated you are with stimulation until you get in there, and you're just it's really like what's the word, like breathtaking, because you know you're just, it's just nothingness, and that it, there's like this spiritual quality to it. There's this whole like, you know, spiritual quality where when you are in that sensory deprivation, you get, you're faced with just nothing and just like you. I mean, it's hard to kind of explain to people if they've never done it, right? And then when you do it yourself, you're just like, and I mean, you're, you know, you probably do it all the time, but just that one time I was like, wow, it isn't even so much the claustrophobia aspect of you're in this thing. That's part of it for me. But the other part of it was just the complete and utter darkness and just nothingness. And then, so I can imagine incorporating some kind of guided meditation or something into that. You know, when we first opened our wellness center in Santa Monica, all these practitioners would come because we're in Santa Monica. And of course there's like, you know, Reiki masters on every corner, and they would come and ask to work for us and, you know, rent a room or whatever. And this one guy came in and he was doing something I have never seen since. It's not sound bath. It's a sound table that he actually created. And it was this just like a massage table that you lie on, and you, I can't remember if it was headphones plus all these like kind of diodes that he would stick onto you. And then the table had these frequencies that he would modulate, and you would lay there and just be in this like blissed out state of frequency and sound. And what an incredible thing to be able to incorporate that into the sound, the float lab, into the float, what's it called? Float chamber.
Float chamber.
That it would just, I you could probably really trip out.
Certainly. And yeah, it's really interesting because you're in this environment and your brain is infinitely looking for some sort of stimulation, like something to grasp onto, and it infinitely can't find it. I mean, it's fascinating because what we see when we look at the human brain is we see all these different aspects of the human brain start to dim out, right? So again, in a for people that may not be totally familiar, floating, as we've talked about, or sensory deprivation, is a powerful wellness tool that's totally taken the West Coast and Europe by storm these past 10 to 20 years. And I can kind of outline it for people at home that may not be super familiar with what floating is exactly. But ultimately, it involves getting in a big egg-shaped hot tub-type tank with a lid over the top, typically the size of a small car. And inside,
are you old enough to remember Mork and Mindy?
I don't remember that.
So Mork and Mindy was, I know I'm totally dating myself here, but Mork and Mindy was like a TV show with Robin Williams when he was really, really young, and he was an alien and he came in this egg to Earth. And his egg was like, almost, so for those listeners who know, who remember Mork and Mindy, it was kind of like that. It's like this egg, and the egg would open in half like this, and he, you know, he would get out of it, and that's where he came from to Earth. But anyway, go. So now they get a visual picture of what that looks like.
Yeah, I'm sure it's eerily similar to Robin Williams' birth. But ultimately, so you go in this big hot tub that she has outlined with the lid over top, and I'm not sure if Robin's tank was filled with 10 inches of water. That's super saturated with 1,000 pounds of therapeutic grade Epsom salt, but that's what every single float tank is filled with. So this environment's literally the most unique environment on the face of planet Earth that I've found, because not only is it full of 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt, but the chamber itself is actually totally void of all sensory input, meaning that in a properly calibrated flotation environment, not even a single photon of light is entering the user's experience at all. There's no sound inside the chamber, because not only is the tank itself sound resistant, but the user is also wearing earplugs oftentimes. There's no smells, there's no tastes, and there's no sense of touch either, which is actually the most difficult one to get rid of oftentimes, because the saltwater solution and the air itself is actually precisely heated and kept at a constant 94.5 degrees Fahrenheit. And you may recall that that exact temperature is the exact temperature of the external layer of our epidermis, external layer of our skin, which actually makes that saltwater solution and the air skin receptor neutral, meaning that oftentimes the user's brain totally loses awareness of where their body ends and where the water begins, which can lead to those deeply spiritual, profound, life-changing experiences that you were referring to.
Yeah. Definitely. Have you ever done DMT in a float chamber?
Come close to it, but no.
I wonder if Joe Rogan has. I mean, you don't need to, right? Like, you're going to get there just being there and having the intention to have a spiritual experience. You're going to get there, right?
Yeah, oftentimes people, I'll say I haven't taken DMT in a float tank, but I've produce my own. And oftentimes that's what we find is when we're in there, we can really bring all of our awareness. It really just depends on whatever our intention is. Like I said, if I set the intention pre-float to do something like go into the silent darkness, and maybe the intention for that float is simply to open my heart as much as I possibly can. Maybe it's to, and then oftentimes when I do that, we're connected with this deep stream of intuition that flows through that heart center. And we start getting these beautiful insights to all these different areas. Sometimes different visions will come through the deeper we get. But ultimately, as we begin to relax into it deeper, more and more flotation sessions, and peel more layers off of the onion, we're really able to access some extremely heightened states of consciousness. And I wouldn't doubt that.
Cool.
They can unravel those psychedelic experiences.
Right? Yeah. That's really cool. So what about when people are magnesium deficient, can they experience detox effects? Like we were talking about the kidney thing, like, could you get out of there and go home and just not feel well at all and just feel like having like detox effects, especially people that maybe have like real mineral dysregulation with some serious like heavy metal issues and stuff like that?
For sure. And again, it's not super common, but especially the Epsom salt itself is extremely detoxifying. And that's mildly different than that of magnesium chloride, but the Epsom salt can be extremely detoxifying, which is why many people leverage it all over the globe for those detox effects. Mm-hmm. But it's really important that we're balancing that with our other important macro minerals and trace minerals as well. But that's why it's important. Maybe taking an adrenal cocktail pre or post float is a great option. If your listeners are familiar with that, there's a bunch of different recipes to it, but the one that I use on a daily basis is coconut water, 8 ounces of coconut water with some sea salt. And then I usually just have a tangerine or an orange on the side. Mm-hmm. And again, really the idea is balancing the magnesium with the potassium, with the sodium, and getting that all with the whole vitamin C. Getting that at one whole hit to balance and stabilize our adrenals and basically our primary minerals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's totally wise to do that pre and post.
Okay. And then you were mentioning about cofactors, like you had mentioned that. So in regards to mineral, just like how, so we have our stressors, we have environmental toxicity, we have chemical, emotional, physical toxicity stressors that we deal with. And you say in your Instagram many times that every disease, at the root of every disease and imbalance is mineral dysregulation. What does that mean to people who have no idea what that even means?
Ultimately, that our minerals are really running the show. Our minerals are the backbone of our hormonal health. And ultimately, we take people, because when we're in the float tank, we're soaking up magnesium transdermally through the hair follicles of our skin, which we noted to. And many minerals like magnesium are responsible for countless enzymatic reactions and biochemical reactions, the productions of various hormones, etc. But ultimately, when we go to bring it full circle, what we see is we take someone that's minerally dysregulated or minerally depleted, the majority of people in the Western world. And as a result of this mineral dysregulation, if they're not sleeping as deep, their immune system isn't optimized, because even many aspects of our immune system, like our T cells, or our immune system's killer cells, which are actually defending our whole immune system, function and run off of magnesium as well. Totally a magnesium dependent cell and system right there as well. So our immune system can't possibly optimize for magnesium deficient. On top of this, so we're soaking the solution. We're not just sleeping deeper and staying asleep longer. We're not just optimizing our immune system, but we're also replenishing all the minerals that we lost from all the stressors of the day. Like you said, from EMF, from overstimulation, from battling the force of gravity. And those two stresses alone, battling the forces of gravity and processing sensory overstimulation, actually occupy 80% of our nervous system's energy every single day. 80%, and that's absolutely profound. And a lot of people don't talk about this, but those two stressors, it's not too often that we look at battling the forces of gravity as being an immense stressor to the nervous system. But imagine how much energy my nervous system and my musculoskeletal system is using right now to simply stop me from my head from drooping to the side and my spine from totally collapsing. It's a lot of tension on the system and a massive stressor.
I never think about, and I'm even married to a chiropractor, and I just don't think about that as a stressor, but it is. And then when you have pain and you have like subluxations in your spine, or you have an injury, or you have toxic focal points, whatever it may be, that gravity is going to most likely torque on those areas in the body as well. I never thought about that, but not only did I not think about it, I certainly didn't think that it was you said 80%?
80% of our nervous system's energy every single day, when combined with the other aspect of processing sensory overstimulation, which we're constantly being bombarded with from all of our senses. To get back to bringing it full circle, ultimately, to answer your question, if we take people that are minerally dysregulated and we start balancing their mineral levels, and as a result, they start, because again, it's directly correlated with our mental stability and clarity, our mental and emotional health as well. So ultimately, when we take patients that are minerally dysregulated, they are oftentimes suffering from mental, emotional, and hormonal dysregulation as well. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the work of Dr. David Hawkins, but what he ultimately was able to prove was that our thoughts are creating our reality, and everything has a frequency. And when we take someone who is minerally dysregulated, mentally, emotionally, and hormonally dysregulated, and we look at their thought patterns, oftentimes they're having stressed out, anxious, and fearful thoughts as a result of all this dysregulation. And since our thoughts have such profound impact on our actual reality, and we live in a universe where like attracts like, what we see is that these people are actually attracting people, circumstances, and events of that same fearful, stressed out, and anxious frequency back into their lives. And it's this, which ultimately these stressed out scenarios and people are further dysregulating their minerals, and therefore their mental and emotional health. And oftentimes people are getting sucked into this toxic cyclical cycle. But ultimately, we can take these people and begin to regulate their mineral levels. We see that they achieve mental and emotional clarity and stability. And they can literally raise the vibe of not just their thoughts, but their entire lives by simply balancing their minerals.
Dude, that is hardcore. Because it's just so profound to think that someone's emotional state and reaction to things that are happening around them can be totally to do with the fact that they're minerally dysregulated, which then tips the dominoes of, you know, gut dysbiosis and hormonal dysbiosis, all these things. Because, you know, Jessica Ash Wellness, you might see her on Instagram a lot. She's big on PCOS and hormonal balance imbalance. She posted today, and I shared it, that what it looks like for someone to be in that stress, using their stress hormones all the time. I call it just like using your backup generator. You're always on using your adrenaline hormone, your adrenal hormones instead of your stress hormones, instead of operating on using your fuel, your like metabolic stability, where you're converting energy, fuel into energy and operating off a healthy thyroid and liver function, all that minerally balanced. And it actually has all the different ways that a woman, she's talking about women who can seem just emotionally unhinged. And, you know, you think of estrogen dominance and you think of a woman who's just off her rocker, right? That's, I mean, unfortunately, that's what people think of, but men can be estrogen dominant as well. And just crying at all, everything, and being dramatic and being an alarmist, and something goes wrong. And it's just like your reactions up here when it's just a little fender bender, or, you know, the neighbor's dog won't stop barking, or, and it's just the end of the world and you're just at your wit's end and it's just horrible. Right. And it's really profound what she said, because it's like, guess what? This is not how God designed you to be. To be off your rocker, emotionally unhinged, stressed out, terrified, afraid of people, afraid of the unknown, afraid. And that if it almost gives you so, it empowers you to think, wait a second, this is actually just a mineral imbalance. This is me being minerally dysregulated and thus hormonally dysregulated and having gut dysbiosis. I mean, that gives you so much power and hope to say, all right, I'm going to work on this and see how I do from now on, check myself with my reactions to things and how I feel on a daily basis. I mean, that's a big deal. And then to be able to do something, hey, how about I just get in the bath and take, and it's not just an Epsom salt bath. This is specifically designed for me to start to regulate and balance my minerals.
Oh, that was beautiful, beautifully said. And if, like you say, and all these stresses are further depleting our magnesium levels.
Yeah.
And like you said, when we, a lot of people will go and go in an Epsom salt bath, but it's important to recognize that when we talk about the float tank, we're not talking about a few pounds of Epsom salt in a bathtub at the end of the night. We're talking about 1,000 pounds of this magical mineral.
Right.
Again, that's being absorbed directly into the bloodstream. And I wanted to touch on as well, just because my mind is constantly fixated on optimization, right? My mind's constantly fixated on optimization. And once we went down and checked just about every single box of optimizing the float tank itself, from, like I said, the lights, the speakers, even the whole tank itself is now totally EMF shielded on our vitality chambers. Again, which will help prevent the clogging of our calcium channels, which is this very important magnesium dependent process as well.
Stop. What? EMFs, like 5G and EM electromagnetic frequency, does what to our calcium channels?
Totally clogs them. Totally clogs them. Which, again, we're very familiar. We may be familiar with how calcium and magnesium are antagonists. So even when we look at our muscles, right? Calcium is oftentimes the mineral of tension, and magnesium. So if I go to flex my bicep, it's using calcium oftentimes to squeeze it and then magnesium to relax it. And that's kind of how they're working as antagonists. But a lot of people don't recognize how our ancestors had a 2-to-1 magnesium to calcium ratio in their diet. Right? A 2-to-1 magnesium to calcium ratio in their diet. But oftentimes today, people have a 10-to-1 or 15-to-1 calcium to magnesium ratio. This is a Western diet because many of our foods are calcium fortified simply for marketing. Mm-hmm. You know, we look at our orange juice and it's totally calcium fortified. Our milk, our cheeses, and even our kale oftentimes. So as a result, in calcium, the metabolism or breakdown of calcium depletes magnesium. So the more calcium we have in our system, the more over calcification we have, the less magnesium we have. And that's crucial considering the majority of us are extremely magnesium deficient. But fortunately, there's hope. And so we've been delving into, I know we had touched on the swap from Epsom salt to magnesium chloride to help get more magnesium into the hair follicles of the skin, directly into the blood.
Okay.
The purest magnesium chloride is what we started filling our tanks with, sourced from a particular mine. And on top of this, though, as I started going deeper down the magnesium rabbit hole, I started stumbling upon different magnesium cofactors, which you may be familiar with. There's three primary ones, but two of them can actually be absorbed transdermally as well. One of them being potassium bicarbonate. Okay. And what potassium bicarbonate does is it actually shuffles more magnesium into the cells and into the mitochondria, where the magnesium can be used to create ATP and energy that our body runs off of, which you had touched on. So we stacked the magnesium chloride with powerful cofactors like potassium bicarbonate and also boron. Boron's fascinating when stacked with magnesium because it actually helps keep the magnesium in the cells and in the tissue longer. And it does this in a few key ways, primarily by slowing the metabolism of the calcium, which drains the magnesium, so by slowing that process down, and also by pushing the magnesium deeper into the bones and into the cells, by really remineralizing the bone on a deeper level. So we stack the purest magnesium chloride with these different cofactors, help get more magnesium into the cells, into the mitochondria, and keep it in the cells longer. And then we started mixing in different enzymes that will actually neutralize any harmful toxins or chemicals in the saltwater solution itself, like chlorine or bromine, or chlorine or fluoride rather. So we sprinkle these enzymes in and it'll actually totally neutralize and off-gas any harmful chemicals in the saltwater solution itself.
Hmm.
On top of this, we want to take it a few steps further and really fully optimize this magnesium-rich solution and ultimately just make this bath blend that would totally maximize magnesium absorption and utilization. And we took that salt blend that we were creating and we ended up blasting it with, I'm not sure if you're familiar with infraceutical technology.
Uh-uh.
It's cutting edge, but the dude that created it actually won the Nobel Prize recently for it. But you can put the salt on near this device that uses different ways of transmitting information. So we can imagine it looks like a coaster and it has different crystals. So the ways we can transmit information are sound. So it uses a mixture of sound waves, lasers or light frequencies, and also an electromagnetic field to transmit frequencies into whatever is put on it. So if we have our salt on it and we select the frequencies that are grounding, which is great in the float environment, we want to make sure that our people are grounded, heart opening frequencies, and even magnesium frequencies and the frequencies of the different cofactors to help further the absorption rate even more. So we took all of our salt, also blasted it with powerful infraceutical frequencies to maximize its absorption and healing potential as well. And then the final step we took, which was a profound one, was we made the salt. I've been a part of a shamanic group for quite some time. And one of the members of the group is a really high level alchemist. And what he ended up mentioning is he's been making spagyric tinctures, which is a really interesting herbalism topic. For many years. But basically what he ended up asking me, he said, hey, why don't you take the magnesium and make it alchemically alive? And we ended up using an ancient alchemical ceremonial process, putting all of our salt through it to ultimately enhance the healing power and healing potential of all the salt, that while people are basking in the salt, it's opening up their heart. It's opening up all these energy channels and really The salt itself has much more healing power and healing potential than the salt that we see on our shelves at the groceries. Ultimately, this salt that is from the purest mine on earth, again, it's not Epsom salt, this magnesium chloride that I pointed out has 230% more magnesium than Epsom salt. When it's blended with these powerful cofactors to help get more magnesium into the cells and into the mitochondria and keep it there longer, paired with different enzymes to neutralize any toxins in the water itself, like chlorine and fluoride. When it's blasted with powerful infraceutical frequencies to optimize it even further, open the heart at a deeper level, ground the patient on a deeper level, while at the same time, that salt is actually alchemically alive because it's been put through the ceremonial process and it has much greater healing potential and life force energy than alchemically dead Epsom salt. And basically, we can, a simple analogy would be if we took an apple that is on the tree. So I can go outside. I'm on a self-sustaining farm. And if I go outside here and I look at an apple that is on the tree, when it's connected to the tree, which is connected to its source, and that apple's in all of its elements, the life force energy of that apple is at its greatest. When I go to pluck that apple off of the tree, stick it in a truck, wash it, process it, and ship it across the country for weeks on end and stick it on a shelf for who knows how long, the life force energy of that apple begins to degrade rather quickly once it's separated from its elements. And the same thing with the mineral kingdom. This isn't unique to the plant world. I know herbalists have been using these principles for hundreds of years, but the same for the mineral kingdom. When we take salt that is in its mine, when it's surrounded by all of its elements connected to its source, and mine it, process it, stick it in bags, and sit them on shelves for years on end, the healing potential of that salt also begins to decrease. And through an alchemical ceremonial process, we can actually infuse more life force energy into that salt and ultimately optimize the healing potential of its salt as a whole.
Wow. And so this is all the salt, not just the salt that you use in your float tanks. It's also the salt that we can use in our baths.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So what we ended up doing is we totally recognize that not everyone has is in the situation to be able to throw it on a float tank, like we talked about, but we really want to lower that barrier to entry. We started creating this optimized magnesium solution to get magnesium transdermally through the skin. And as we were filling our float tanks with this and seeing tremendous results, we're like, hey, why don't we make this, why don't we kind of lower the barrier to entry if our goal is truly to help as many people as possible?
Yeah.
And we ended up making an affordable bag that is chock full of this magnesium chloride blend that I just outlined. And what we recommend doing is originally it was kind of in between float sessions, but now it's just, it could be totally used on its own to top off your mineral levels at the end of a long day, either in a full body soak in the bath, or my favorite is actually foot soaks on a daily basis. And the reason I prefer foot soaks is you can have a more concentrated solution and less water. And at the same time, we actually have the largest pores in our body on the soles of our feet. And not just that, but all the nerve endings to all of our primary organs are actually in our feet as well. So we stick our feet in this magnesium rich solution, gets absorbed directly into the bloodstream, directly into the body, where it can be utilized right away, which is incredible.
Nice. And how much of the salt do you use per foot soak? Like a whole bag?
So fortunately, with the cofactors and with the other aspects that I outlined, a little bit of the salt goes a long way. So really, all we recommend is just 2 tablespoons of magnesium chloride in a foot bath, or really no more than a quarter cup in a full body bath. And it goes a really, really long way.
Nice. Well, that sounds economical and easy to do all the time.
Totally.
That's such a great thing. That's great. I want to recommend that to everyone, especially my clients in the estrogen dominance support group on Facebook. And
no, I'm sure they could benefit as well.
Yeah, everybody, right? Yeah. What about, is there anything else you want to share with my audience?
Yeah, so many things. but yeah, one more cool tidbit that we can point out here is the fact that the float tank's been being used for to treat various ailments, thousands of different ailments. And on top of this, even our SEALs, our Navy SEALs have been leveraging float therapy to actually as an accelerated learning environment, which is fascinating as well. It kind of goes hand in hand with that hypnosis that we had talked about, mm-hmm. where what they've been doing is actually using the float tank environment or sensory deprivation to accelerate their learning. So for them, they've been able to cut down the learning of a new language from 6 months down to just 6 weeks when doing it in sensory deprivation. So that points to a 78% acceleration in the speed of our learning when it's done in sensory deprivation as well. So really that idea of passive floats in the silent darkness, which are great and extremely beneficial, but also depending on what our intention is, stacking in active floats as well, where we listen to powerful frequencies, guided meditations, hypnosis tracks, or even accelerate learning or visualize inside the tank has profound benefits as well.
That's unbelievable, because that just goes to, that really goes to show you how much stimulation from around can keep you from, you know, can give you ADHD, you know, it gives you like just completely attention deficit disorder because you can't focus on the one thing in front of you. That's incredible.
For sure. And even when we compare, because going hand in hand with the ADHD, with this hyper stressful and oftentimes leads to different forms of anxiety oftentimes. Mm-hmm. What we see is when we compare the anti-anxiety effects of floating, of a single 1 hour float session, to the leading anti-anxiety pharmaceuticals on the market, which right now are Xanax and benzodiazepines. When we compare the effects, the half-life of Xanax and benzos is 4 to 6 hours, which is, it can be very helpful for patients in need. I don't recommend more than a couple weeks at a time, but in emergency situations, it can be helpful. But we compare the anti-anxiety effects to that of a single 1 hour flotation session. What we found in the clinical studies now is that not only are the anti-anxiety effects of a single 1 hour float more impactful, and the decrease in state anxiety is equal to that of the benzos or even deeper, but not just that, the anti-anxiety effects of floating are lasting anywhere from 24 to 36 hours after a single 1 hour float session. Mm. And this modality requires no doctor's visits, no prescriptions, and has ultimately extremely low side effects, if any at all. And it just leads me to be extremely optimistic with everything going on in the world.
Yeah.
Stressful times that we live in.
Wow, that's good news for sure.
Hello, quick interruption to tell you about the in-home dried urine Dutch Complete hormone test. It's not enough to just know your levels, high or low, but for example, what are you doing with your estrogen? Is it being pushed down unhealthy, potentially dangerous pathways that could lead to breast or prostate cancer, fibroids, or insulin resistance? Or are you converting your testosterone into estrogen and having hair loss and low libido? Or are your adrenals burnt out and at the root of all your hormonal struggles? No point in guessing. I love this test. I take it once a year and it keeps me on track with my goal of aging gracefully. Use your coupon ED25 as in estrogen dominance 25 and get $25 off your test interpretation and 6 week program of supplement, detox, and dietary recommendations. I have 5 years of experience reading and interpreting this test and was trained by the makers Precision Analytical. Coupled with my gut health expertise, and this program is about as comprehensive as you're going to get. Check it out in the show notes for more details.
Do you still take magnesium?
I do. And really, I'm a fan of taking it from all sides. So trying mm-hmm. to get it from the food, supplementing it orally, hitting it with the magnesium bicarbonate as well, orally taking shots throughout the day, which mm-hmm. is another great option, extremely high absorption rate. I think it's like mm-hmm. 52%.
Oh, wow.
Versus when we compare that to many forms of magnesium, oral magnesium, like magnesium oxide.
Yeah.
It's only 4% absorbed, or maliaspartate, which is highly toxic. So the magnesium bicarbonate's a great option, and people can make it at home for like for a couple bucks.
That was my next question, was all the different forms, malate, threonate, citrate. Can you speak on any of that? And what do you think people should avoid for the most part?
Yeah, the ones that we should be avoiding are certainly aspartate, like I pointed on, because highly toxic. Magnesium citrate as well, avoiding the citrates at all costs. Magnesium oxide, avoiding, primarily because most of it gets excreted via the urine and mostly hurting the wallet more than anything. But ultimately, the magnesium bicarbonate is absolutely the most rapidly or the most bioavailable oral form magnesium, hands down. And then we stack that with transdermal magnesium forms like the Vitality salts, just soaking our feet in at night. Doesn't matter if you're eating dinner, doing a podcast. If you look at my scan down, you might find a bowl a couple feet.
Nice.
But just doing something transdermally to get the magnesium in right away, so we don't have to wait 9 to 12 months to see an impact.
So the citrate, though, that makes a lot of people mad when I say it, because you know you can, and there are the woman who kind of really, I forget her name, the doctor who really touts magnesium citrate, and her reasoning, I can never remember her reasoning, but you know, people take it because of that calm magnesium that they sell that tastes so yummy. And people really like, it helps me go to the bathroom. I love magnesium citrate because people really like that cause and effect. They like, I have a headache, I take an aspirin, my headache's gone. Like, people are so used to that. So that's why they really love the citrate. But do you have anything else to say about citrate besides don't take it?
Ultimately, when we see the cause and effect, we'll see it with Epsom salts too. And not to say that there aren't some benefits there, but we're going to maximize the benefits, especially for the long term. Again, it's easy to take some of these things and see short-term benefits. But again, when we look at the studies on them and go 9 to 12 months out, ultimately what I care about is it impacting my red blood cell magnesium levels? Again, I don't care if it's increasing my serum magnesium levels. I don't care if it's increasing my blood levels of magnesium or my urinary levels of magnesium. That just means I'm pissing it out, which is cool. Yeah, it's getting into the body, but it's not making its way into the red blood cells where it can have these profoundly beneficial effects on the entire system.
Got it. Well, good. That's good to know, because it certainly is a source of contention with a lot of my people. You know,
I understand it tastes great. Maybe you can add some fruity pebbles to your magnesium bicarbonate. there you go.
Oat milk.
Exactly.
Well, what else? You got anything else before we wrap it up? I know you have lots.
Yeah. Let's see some of the things I want to touch on here. Yeah. So there was one other interesting study that was done on the Washington State basketball team recently, actually, which is interesting because we talk about floating and its benefits on reducing levels of state anxiety, balancing out our cortisone levels, helping us sleep deeper and increasing our magnesium levels. But people don't often associate it with an acceleration in athletic performance as well. And what we see in the study, in this particular study that was done on the basketball team, was they had a control group where they asked half the team to go out for 1 hour a week and shoot free throws on the free throw line. And they asked the other half to go into the float tank and simply visualize themselves for 1 hour a day over the course of a week, to visualize themselves making free throws, taking free throws, making them. And it really just outlines the power of proper visualization. Because we recognize the brain really can't tell a difference between a solid visualization and base reality. And as a result, when people are visualizing their experience inside the tank without any distractions, which is why it's an accelerated visualization, we don't have to worry about the dog barking or something pulling us out of that visualization. They go into this visualization inside the tank and they have to mindfully create every aspect of that experience. What does the ball feel like? Where is it? Where am I? Walking up to the line, what does it feel like? How do I feel? And start cultivating those emotions, bringing it in. They make the shot. They feel those emotions overcome their system, which obviously plays into the confidence aspect going forward. But ultimately, at the end of the week, when they tested and they put those two groups face to face, what they found is that the group that simply visualized for 1 hour a day over the course of the week inside the float tank, when it came to the test and they shot free throw, the people inside the float tank blew the others totally out of the park. And this isn't unique to that study. What we see is that floating's benefits on especially marksman related tasks like archery or dart throwing or free throw shooting, whatever it is, totally goes through the roof, again, because these people have been able to drop into a baseline and establish a new level of baseline for the nervous system they can operate at. And when we're operating from that baseline in day-to-day life, it doesn't matter what we're doing, we're going to be able to do it more effectively.
That's nuts. That's really cool. I mean, now my brain's just going like to all the different things that you could do, you know, even just, you know, like with meditating, but creative visualization and just visualizing any kinds of things that you're, that you do, your hobbies, your, you know, your desires for what you want in your life, you know, to just be able to imagine yourself doing those things and being successful and completing certain tasks that need doing, or even overcoming fears, maybe. That's pretty cool. It makes me think of Stranger Things, the first season. Do you remember that? Did you see it?
I do.
Yeah. And perfecting your telepathy and your ability to, you know, your psychic ability. That's pretty cool.
we're working on it. Nice. The dude that actually invented the flotation chamber. His name's John C. Lilly. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but he was an interesting dude. But what he ended up doing is, originally, flotation therapy ended up coming about in this huge debate in the 50s among physicists and philosophers over what actually makes a human being conscious and aware. And ultimately, the leading hypothesis back then was that the only reason we are actually conscious and aware is the fact that our brains and our nervous systems are being inundated and stimulated with sensory overstimulation. So this is what they theorized back in the 50s, which was only like 70 years ago. They thought that if you were to avoid all sensory input to the nervous system, that the brain and the nervous system would actually enter like a comatose, brain dead like state. And one dude, John C. Lilly, ended up actually testing that. That's how floating actually came to be, where he was the guinea pig on himself, and he entered a totally void, an environment that's totally void of all sensory inputs. He established the first float tank. Back in the day, it kind of looked more like the back to tank from Star Wars or something like that, like a cryotherapy chamber that's standing up. You get in from the top and you have a big astronaut bubble over your head so you can breathe.
Wow.
All these cords. But the Epsom salt wasn't introduced until nearly 20 or 30 years later, which is interesting. It was just totally water to start. But what I was going to say is, he ended up doing a lot of fascinating research where he actually put his float tank above a dolphin sanctuary. And what he ended up doing was he would go in and float for the course of years. And what he ended up finding was that he was able to telepathically not just decipher what the dolphins below were actually saying to each other, but was actually able to make the largest strides to date in dolphin communication when he was in sensory deprivation above the dolphin tank. And I'm not going to say that certain medicines like psilocybin and LSD weren't potentially involved, but and that ultimately got him shunned, but he was doing fascinating research with telepathy inside the tank.
Whoa. I mean, okay, this is nuts. So let's go back to just a second and say about the part where you said that consciousness, we are not, let me see if I say it right. We're not aware of being, we're not self-aware without the external stimulation of what's around us. Is that right?
Yeah, they theorize that our consciousness was actually coming from the stimulation, and that our nervous systems were actually being stimulated. And that was the reason that various parts of our brain were lighting up. And that's what we find. So they basically theorize that when someone entered a float environment, all these different parts of their brain would dim out, and so thoroughly that the person may actually cease to have an experience at all. And ultimately what we found was that many parts of the brain do dim out. But when we hook up patients to an EEG and put them in the float environment, what we actually find is that not only do all these parts of the brain dim out, again, this huge swath of brain tissue on the back of their skull, their visual cortex, totally dims out. Swath of brain tissue on the front, the auditory cortex, totally dims out. There's no sound to be digesting at all. The parts of the brain that are related to movement, speech, smelling, tasting, even our amygdala, which is the fight or flight center of our brain, totally dims out. So again, they weren't far off, but what they didn't recognize was that all these parts of the brain that weren't typically being used actually lit up like a Christmas tree. And what we started to see is the left and right hemispheres of the brain in particular, the left, the logic hemisphere of our brain, and the right, the creativity side of our brain, actually totally merged together and started harmonizing and entering the state of hypersynchrony, where the different lobes of the brain were communicating together on a level that was never seen before. And this was leading to heightened states of consciousness, heightened states of awareness, also just states that have now been coined the flow state, for example. But yeah, so we do see many parts of the brain dim out, but we also see many parts of the brain light up. And that's the part that I'm really fascinated about.
That is so interesting. You know, when I met my husband, he was working with a lot of children who were disabled, who had autism and cerebral palsy and different types of vaccine injuries and you name it. And when I started doing nutrition, we started working at this center that rehab children with different disabilities. And this one child had this type of retardation, but basically it's like he could not move his body unless he had this leash on him, kind of like a harness. Then you could walk him almost like a dog. Like, you know, he would stand up and walk as long as you pulled on that leash and he could feel the clothes on his body touch himself. He could feel himself in space and time, and then he could walk. But if you let go of that tension, he would collapse to the ground. And they said that this was happening in his brain, that he had no sensory outside of himself unless he had pressure onto himself. And, you know, they say this about babies a little bit too. They say that's why they oftentimes need to be swaddled so tightly, is because it gives them a sense of being, of just being a lot of being a present. And that when they're just laying there kind of unswaddled, their mind can't wrap their head around the fact that they were first in this float tank, right? In the womb. And then they came out and they're just like, what am I? Where am I? Like, they can't wrap their head around it. So swaddling them gives them a sense of like, not just security and safety, but like they're present. And so these children were the same. Some of these children that had this type of retardation was the same thing. It's so interesting to me.
It really is. No, it's fascinating. And like you say, sometimes we need something. Some people it's touch, some people it smells, something to ground us back into our state of being. And there's so many disorders like that, especially so many sensory disorders. I mean, we look at the spectrum, autism, for example, and these are all sensory disorders. And I've been teaching martial arts for well over a decade now. And I've worked with many children, and many people that are drawn to the martial arts are people that are on the spectrum, oftentimes people that battle ADHD, people that battle different spectrum disorders, sensory disorders, because it is so grounding. It gets you back in your body. It helps you connect. Ultimately, that's why I got involved in it. Was I was diagnosed with a neuromuscular disease at birth called Charcot-Marie tooth, or CMT. And my parents got me into it with the hope of it helping with my balance and muscle strength and coordination. So it was really either that or ballet, and nothing against ballet, but I love martial arts. but like what we see is when we take these patients, especially ones with sensory disorders, what we see is their RAS system of their brain, it's almost like the sensitivity knob on all of their senses is heightened so high, and oftentimes the defense mechanism, which is great. But again, we're coming out of a womb into this world where we're being, again, we're being constantly bombarded with sensory overstimulation from all of our senses every second of the day. Mm-hmm. And almost never do we take a true respite from that.
Yeah.
You know, and the most people get oftentimes is sleeping at night. Oftentimes they still have light blinking in the room, even if it's moonlight blinking, working in from the curtains, but those are still photons that our brain has to process. We're still touching, even right now, the shirt is still touching my skin, and that's sensory information that my brain is having to process. Wow. So when we can enter this environment where there is none, it's totally void of all external sensory input, what happens is the RAS system of their brain can relax a little bit. What it does, oftentimes what it does, it first tunes up a little bit and gets a little extra sensitive, desperately trying to find some sort of external stimulation. And when it can't, it takes a respite. So for example, we have patient, like we all know that we take away one of our senses, we go into our basement at night, maybe, and it's pitch black, or maybe we can't see super clear. We take away one of our senses, the rest heighten, right? But it turns out that we take away all of our senses, they all heighten an incredible amount, oftentimes over 25% each. And this is very therapeutic, because now when a patient goes outdoors and maybe colors pop a little bit more to them and they're more enjoyable, maybe smells are more impactful and they resonate on a deeper level, you know, the sounds more enjoyable. So as a result, we can connect with our senses on a deeper level, which can be super grounding in itself. But also when we're in the tank, like you said, we get to connect with our inner being on an extremely deep level because there's no distractions. It's just you in there, and you're really,
it's just you, but you're other. Also like not your body. It's just you, as in your, like you said, your inner being. It's not even your body. Like, that's what's so wild to me about it. And I think, you know, I can't wait to try it again. And I'm kind of nervous because there is that aspect of, you're just faced with absolutely nothing and just your inner self. It's very transformative.
And I think for you too, you're on the self-improvement, self-awareness journey. You're extremely self-aware. And I feel that next time you get in the tank and you set that intention to really connect with myself and open up and relax on a deeper level, that it'll be a really beautiful experience for you.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Look forward to hearing about it.
Yeah, thank you. Well, thanks for your time. This was way more. I mean, I was super looking forward to your info, but even such a treat to find out all this other fascinating research. I love it.
Totally, 100%. And like we say too, it's also just looking at it as, and I got a lot of people on this self-improvement journey are looking to get into meditation or have been into meditation, and maybe some people struggle with meditation, and it's also an accelerated meditation environment as well, because it's almost like a cheat to meditation because it cuts out all of that external stimulation for you.
Right.
And it's a lot easier to kind of pinpoint that awareness on one thing, especially when, again, your external awareness plummets. But at the same time, all of that awareness that and all that consciousness that is usually getting pulled into all these different areas, and processing all this different sensory overload, now all that awareness gets to go inwards. Mm-hmm. And what we see is a massive increase in our interoceptive awareness. Mm-hmm. Where we're now able to connect with our heartbeat on a deeper level, and our digestion on a deeper level, our gut on a deeper level, and mm-hmm. Really start bringing some consciousness and awareness to that, which is extremely healing.
Yeah. Lovely. Beautiful stuff. Thank you so much for your time and for just educating us with all that wisdom.
I appreciate you. No, the pleasure is mine, truly.
I mean, first of all, anybody who does MMA and jiu-jitsu is just already on my like good list. So that makes him extra cool to devote his time and his life to that particular martial art or mixed martial arts, I think says a lot about a person's character. And so right away, I just like him. And then what he's devoted his life to, his new passion, which is incredible. He's going to help so many people with what he does, and I love it. So let me tell you what happened before I give you the coupon code for discount, and all that information's in the show notes. So I don't know. I have always loved roller skating, and those of you who might see me doing this online are probably cracking up. But I decided to buy some roller skates. I haven't been on roller skates since I was like 12, but I've been wanting to do it. And all these Instagrams and TikToks that these girls are doing and guys are doing with roller skating has just really got me super excited to do it again. I am killing it on my first day down at Venice Beach. Like, I just practiced for a little bit on my own down there. My husband was filming me. You can see it all on TikTok. It's pretty funny. And then I just got brave and threw myself into like the hardcore skaters who were dancing and stuff. Amazing. So much fun. Well, okay. Day three, we're back down there. Whole different crew. It's like a weekday. It's a whole different crew. Very serious people. A lot of people were falling already. And it just was the energy of like falling. And I should have listened to the energetic vibe of like falling. And I should have just taking a break that day. Well, I didn't. And I fell. And I twisted my knee. And I don't know, if you've ever twisted your knee, you know that it could be just a twisted knee, or it could be like a torn, you need reconstruction type of thing. And maybe I thought it was worse than it is, and now it's actually not that bad. We'll see. It's still yet to be determined. But the first couple of days, I mean, I could barely even walk out of the little skating area because I tried to, and my knee gave out again, and I fell again. And my husband was just, the look on his face, that was the hardest part of the whole thing, was just, besides the sound of my knee popping, was the look on his face. Because, you know, he's a chiropractor, he's a doctor, he deals with this stuff all the time. He's done it himself in jiu-jitsu to both knees. And he was like, oh, my baby. It was so sad for me that I had found this really awesome thing to do, a hobby, and I was having such a good time. And then he was like, no, it was really hardcore. So anyway, I did everything he said. I, thanks to my neighbor and awesome friend, Kristen, she was walking my dog for me. And I iced my knee all day for like 3 days. And then it felt good. It didn't feel great. I'm like hobbling on it. And then I get my Vitality salts and I soak my feet. And that same day, I had like a 50% improvement in being able to walk. I was no longer hobbling. I could actually walk, which was crazy. And then that was 2 days ago. And then yesterday, even better, we went out to dinner even, and I was walking. And today I walked my dog around the block for 2 blocks. So I would say that that's pretty impressive. And I think that, yes, the rehab and the ice and the collagen minerals, all the things, but I really think that the Vitality salts played a big role in that. And that's so cool. So anyway, I just wanted to brag about that and say that I will be back on my roller skates. And if you want to get some Vitality salts or look into those float labs, please check it all out in the show notes. You can click on those links. It'll take you right to his site. And you can use Kitty Martone coupon and get 10% off of your Vitality salts. All right, friends, it was so much fun today, and we'll talk to you soon. Yay!